Everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually After Show, episode 105 for the 23rd of October 2010. And before we get started, we offer our usual disclaimer, which is, if you've never listened to one of our shows before, stop.
We're not usually like this.
You don't want to listen to this show. No, look, this show can be kind of fun in its own right. This is kind of
you don't want to listen to the show. You want to listen.
No, you want to listen to the show, but you want to listen to the other shows first. All right.
This is kind of this crazy at this time.
This is because this is the end of our live recording day. We're all kind of tired.
Look, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. 3:30.
We've been doing this for hours.
27 degrees.
So basically, at the end of our live recording day, we just turn the mics back on and we just kind of talk about whatever. Now this week, we're actually going to dedicate the show to Dalton Knight, who is one of our live listeners, who has sent us 1,000,000,001 links. And I thought, well, you know what? These links are also kind of amusing. Let's just kind of work our way through these links and talk about some of this stuff because it's kind of fun.
God, please tell me there isn't anything that is as gross as chicken in a can.
Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, no.
We'll come I'm not even sure I want to look at the screen.
All right. Today. I'm David McVeigh, and I'm joined here in studio, as always, by Josh Philpott. How are you?
Fine.
And continuing to join us is Celine Roberts. So we're just moving through the introductions real quick. You know.
Why do you ask me a question then? I hate it when people do that.
I didn't ask you a question.
You said, how are you?
Oh, it's one of those statutory meetings where you say, hi, how are you? You don't really care about
the
shit.
Don't say, how are you?
How are you,
this
Josh?
This is my language, all right? Don't fuck with it, all right? You want to say hi, just say hi. All right, let's start again.
Hi, Josh, how are you?
I'm great.
That's good to hear.
That's all I was going to do. But you cut me off, and now you pay the price.
And Celine, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. Just okay? What do you think? Do you think he's having a hissy fit over there?
I'm actually looking at the chat room now. And I'm
done with you guys. No, Jay Raggy says, man eats 50-year-old chicken for golden wedding anniversary. What the hell?
Okay, let's just... Yeah.
Okay. Send a link through.
No, really.
He sent a link through. If he's going to send a link through, we got to see
Hi,
it.
Hi, little gig.
Here we go. What do we got?
No,
what do we got? Man eats 50-year-old chicken.
Oh, there's a photo and everything.
Exclusive videos.
Exclusive, huh? Yeah,
it says here, a sentimental husband in Denton, Greater Massachusetts, Manchester, sorry, has celebrated his golden wedding anniversary by eating a 50-year-old chicken.
Oh, yeah, because that's usually how you do
a 50-year-old can of chicken.
Can of chicken. It's chicken in a can, but 50 years old.
Les
well,
Laley
at least we know it lasts for that
had
long.
Been have been saving the tin of Buxted whole cooked chicken in jelly from a buffet he and his bride Beryl received as a wedding gift in 1956.
Wow.
They kept hold of the tin through numerous house moves, explaining to the BBC, I always said, on my 50th anniversary, I'm going to eat that chicken. So I did.
Well, hey.
Well, and there's your 2 minutes of fame. I hope you're happy.
Wow.
There we go.
Wow, wow.
Well, at least we know he can stick to his word.
Yeah,
that he's the kind of husband
exactly.
That'll make a promise and stick to his word. So, you know, good on him.
I guess so, I guess
he's setting
so.
A good standard. I just wish he had done it in a way that didn't involve chicken in a can.
Callison in our chat room says, it's so romantic and yet so disgusting.
I bet you she wasn't too amazed by that. She would be like, oh, that's really nice. Thanks.
All right, so before we start these links, we did say that a couple weeks ago we would start by expanding on our film show just a little bit by saying, what have we been watching this week? What has anybody been watching this week?
Oh, God, that is a good question.
What have you been doing this week? Anything?
I have been...
We watched Leon the Professional.
Oh, yes, I got that on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. I got Leon the Professional on Blu-ray.
Oh, and Jurassic Park 1!
No, seriously, it was that
no,
cool.
No, really.
Like, just going back and rewatching that.
It's
for
like
the first
my childhood.
Just on DVD. But, yeah, it was just to see it again.
That's a great film.
And you
yeah.
know all the lines.
I love
and you
Jurassic
say
Park.
It at the same time as them. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was that was a special thing for to go back and revisit that because it's
special.
Been a couple of years.
You guys have been catching up on Seagal films as well? I know this because
yes.
Little Birdie told me because you borrowed mine.
We're going back to the 80s, man.
Yeah.
The 80s is in.
Which one are you up to?
We did Hard to Kill. We did Nico.
Under Siege.
We've done Under Siege, and there's one more left.
There's one more on the... Yeah, there's Alpha Justice.
Alpha Justice. We haven't done Alpha Justice
yet. Is that
the
one where he throws him down the elevator shaft?
No, that's Mark for Death.
That's Mark for Death.
We've been through this discussion before.
Yes, that's not on the list.
We've been through this discussion before.
I'm going to take him to the bank. The blood bank.
Oh, that was the best line out of the films. There's a line where Seagal is sitting on a bed.
And he's talking to himself.
Remember we were talking about the acupuncture bit in the film? Where, like, the girl leaves the room and goes away, and then, like, as he leaves, he talks to himself, and he just goes, I'm going to take him to the bank, the blood bank. And you're like, wow, I can't believe you actually said that. I thought we made that up in pop culture references. Oh, my God. Look at her face.
Sorry, I've just brought up a photo here.
If you guys
have
the Dropbox account, the Dropbox account has a picture called Chicken 00 something.
She's like, are you sure you want to do that, sweetie?
Yeah, she's literally got a look on her face like, oh, really? Are you going to do it?
Why are you going to do it? And look at that can. That is such an old can.
How happy. He so wants to eat that.
He's going to eat my chicken. Sorry, for our audio listeners, this is really kind of uninteresting. Go to the Dropbox and have a look.
Gross.
That is quite staggering. Somebody,
no, I'm not even going to put up a movie file. You guys just have to find that.
Just go find that one. That is quite something.
Yeah.
All right. Now I've actually been Delta Knight. I've been catching up with the
damn.
What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know, Dave. That's why we're waiting.
Catching up with the fall TV season. Continuing the fall TV season, right. And I have to say that. The new season of The Mentalist is actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
That series I was talking about last week, Raising Hope, is actually still progressing along quite nicely. It's actually very good. No Ordinary Family, the one about the superheroes, is still kind of mediocre. Better than it was in the pilot, but still not quite there. My biggest movie-watching experience this week, I think I have to talk about this, is I got a Blu-ray sent out through QuickFlix, because I have a basic QuickFlix account, and it was The Vampire's Assistant, Cirque de Freak, The Vampire's Assistant, with John C. Reilly as the vampire.
Oh, yes. I've been wanting to see it.
I've been heard mixed things about
it. Is this a movie?
Yeah, it's a movie. Mm. And I watched it, and at exactly 48 minutes into it, the disc failed. So I still have not seen the ending. I'm waiting for the replacement disc to come. So hopefully I will be able to report on the rest of that coming up soon. I also have the Blu-ray downstairs of World's Greatest Dad, the Robin Williams film.
Oh, yeah.
Which is supposed to be really dark and really good. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, though. Mm-hmm. But that's basically it. I haven't had a huge movie-watching week this week. Mm. Playing with Nokia phones and stuff like that, I just haven't had a chance.
Been out and about.
Been a lot of stuff to do. A lot of comic book reading this week, though. I read the first part of the Tron Legacy.
I read all of
prequel.
the four Red prequels.
Yeah, I read those. Yeah,
That was interesting. I've started reading the one issue down through the Firefly comic book series, which is actually quite good.
Yeah, those look interesting. I've got
those
actually lined up.
Better storylines, like awesome set pieces and big epic things happening than they could have ever done with the show.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Was really low budget. So
I've also read the first two of a three-part issue comic book that was actually conceived by Jenna Jameson, of all people.
Oh, yeah, I've got that. I haven't read it yet.
And I think it's called Shadow Chaser, Shadow Catcher, Shadow something, whatever it's called. I can't remember. Anyway, after reading two of them, I don't know if I can get to the third one. It is the most convoluted, weird-ass shit fantasy thing I've ever read in my life. And before you think it's porn or anything, there's no nudity or porn in it.
It's like none at all?
None at all.
Not even sexualized, not even any nudity.
It's all this. It's this weird, bleak, strange fantasy thing about a girl who finds out that she's related to demons and she fights demons. And it's all very bizarre. And it's getting weirder and more twisted as it goes on. And they sit there going, I don't know if I'm really grabbing this.
Yeah, I'm reading, and a friend gave it to me quite a while ago, Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. Speaking of weird stuff that's difficult to read, this is definitely difficult to read.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, like, you read a page and you need to put it down and then maybe cut yourself for a little while and then go back to it.
It's very dark. Yeah. And if you guys haven't read it before,
it's hard. Like, it's a push.
It's no
invader.
This is by the same guy that did Invader Zim.
It's so much dark.
It is quite possibly the levels of his darkness, and it is very, very dark. There are some great concepts and very interesting conversations about
and very interesting
humanity and
social commentaries, but it's still just really dark.
Bleak, and it gets more and more messed up as it goes along. But yeah, great thing to read if you guys have got the time. I absolutely adored it. Celine might not quite enjoy it as much as I did, but yes.
What, Journey of the Homicidal Maniac? Oh no, I'm enjoying it. It's just hard. It's difficult to read. Like, I'll read it before I go to bed at night, and I'll get really weird.
I think you should probably
dreams.
Stop
I think
doing
I should
that.
Just
yeah,
stop doing that.
That might be the wrong place to be reading it. I gotta say, John, have you actually read the Tron: The Betrayal yet, Josh?
No, not yet. There's two parts.
I want the second part because I finished the first part. It's intriguing because they're explaining in the comic book, they explain how, why the world looks so different how it's been built, and it's how it's all about how Clue has taken control of that world, and why there's the young Flynn, which is Clue, basically, and taking how he takes over. It's interesting. It's a little bit. Substandard writing. But it's a good primer for the new film, I think. So kind of setting the pace. So they're basically saying it's a new grid. So that's why it looks different. It's Flynn's made a new grid, and he's imported the people over from one grid to another and stuff like that. So it's intriguing. And Tron, of course, is still there. He's like this guardian. And Clue has been made the controller of the grid. He's Flynn when Flynn's not able to be there. And so Flynn keeps popping in and out, basically saying, how's things going? And what we're seeing in the comic book is this progression of Clue basically saying, well, while he's gone, I'm still in charge here, so I think we should start. So he's basically becoming self-aware. And becoming the MCP, basically, is what we're seeing. So it's intriguing. It's an intriguing idea. It'd be interesting to see how the film actually goes, if it is being based heavily off of this. We've been hearing some murmurs. Josh and I have been hearing some murmurs that Tron Legacy might not be
hearing any of those rumors. I don't know what you're talking about. Go away. Now, go away. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to
I hope so, but I'm starting to get worried. The problem is it's been so hyped. So hyped.
You're just going to get let down.
Yeah. I don't care. The kid in me won't get let down because it's amazing.
No, do you know what will happen? Is he gets so hopped up on it that he'll get angry. And you know what he's like when he gets angry at
things. It's very cute.
I love you when you're angry. It is. He gets so angry at films. It's like it's a personal affront to him.
Damn right. You're
like someone's insulting his mother or something. It's like, how dare you? I never.
Well, speaking of Tron, let's have a look at the first of Delta Knight's links, because it is Tron related, and I actually have the picture here on the board. So basically, the first link that he sent through to us was about this watch. For some reason, it's not loading up in my iPad. We'll wait till it loads up, but I'll bring up the picture on screen. And it's a concept watch. It hasn't actually been made yet, but what they're looking for is demand on it. If they get demand on it, then they will make them, you know? And this is the watch. And isn't this the coolest thing ever? Basically, the outside ring does the minutes, and the inside ring is the hours.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Come on, that's an awesome-looking watch.
And
Delta Knight in the chat room, I so want one of these watches.
I would have that watch, and I don't like watches.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I would wear that watch.
And for some reason, the link is not loading up in my iPad at all now, so we'll move on. But that's basically it. So the link will be in the show notes, so go have a look at it at your own leisure. And put in an order. I don't know how much they're going to cost. They're probably thousands of dollars for all we know, you know? So, you know, we'll
hope
not. Second link that he sent through. Now, is this the one? Yeah, this is the one. I've got a printout of it. I've got it on the board, but it's so small you can't actually see it, obviously. This is it here. It's tiny because it's a big graphic.
Yes.
We're going to put this graphic. No, I don't need to put it in the Dropbox. It's actually on the article. That's right. It's a Geekology
But if
link.
Delta Knight's listening and has a copy, he can throw it in the
Dropbox. Yeah, grab the picture and throw it in the Dropbox there. That'll be great. Basically, it's a picture which is the evolution of the geek. And we were looking at it, and this is so cool. I think I probably sit squarely in this pop culture geek territory here with leanings towards film and tech. But I like the fact that the tech geek is actually prior to the pop culture geek. Have you noticed that? The
computer geek.
He kind of goes away from the computer geek aspect of it, yeah.
So, I just love the theater geek has a shirt that says, I love cats.
And what is it? The tech geek has an iPad. So that's that's very cool.
It's very
too.
Cute.
So it's a very cool graphic. It's a very cool evolution, and I like that a lot.
Everyone else fits.
Sorry?
I'm just wondering. It's like we should almost, you know what would be perfect to do with this? We should put this into Facebook and get everybody to tag which one they think they
are. Oh, that's cute too.
That's cool.
That's cute too. All right, well, we'll put that up and let people tag it. We'll grab a copy of that. That's a lot of fun. I like that as well. But that wasn't the showstopper. The showstopper for me, and we're going to skip one here. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to the... where is it? Oh, no, it is in the right order. Good, okay. This is the showstopper for me. This was the big, fat, ugly sandwich. All right? Now, this is the picture of the big fat...
Wow!
Now, have a look at this picture, because the picture doesn't do it justice. It is the size of a football.
Yeah, they've got the measurement next to it and everything.
It contains, are you ready?
Two rolls.
Two rolls, four cheeseburgers, double cheese steak, chicken cheese steak, gyro meat... grilled chicken, bacon,
what's
sausage.
Gyro meat?
You know, like the stuff for kebabs.
Oh, wow, right.
Sausage, mozzarella sticks, chicken fingers, chicken nuggets, mac and cheese, bites, fried mushrooms, jalapeno poppers, pizza bites, onion rings, hash browns, American cheese, mayo, ketchup, and French fries.
What's the red stuff?
Sauce, so that you go through your freaking stomach?
To me personally, though, the highlight of this entire thing was in the article on Geekology. Once again, thank you, Delta Knight, is the description at the bottom, which actually says...
How many people has this thing?
The description at the bottom...
I'm actually more with the idea of how many things has this thing killed.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I mean, like, how many animals are in that?
Are you ready for
that's
this,
like an
though?
Entire abattoir's worth.
Geekology sums this up. By the way, this sandwich is the big fat ugly, which is such a good name for it.
Very appropriate.
$25 for a sandwich, all right?
Yeah, but for that much meat, that's actually not a bad price.
$25 American.
That's about that.
In America, this would... Yeah, anyway, the point is this. Geekology writes, and I'm going to read this quote for quote, okay? Because it made me laugh out loud. My God, that sounds delicious. He says, a sandwich almost as big as a football? Count me in. Plus, if you can pound one in under 15 minutes, you eat for free.
Oh, that's gross, man. That's just...
Wait. He says, sure, you'll blow the back of your pants out and and bum a hole in your car seat on the way home, but you ate for free. He says, now roll down my window or I'll kill you. On your Geekology,
that's so vivid.
That is,
you can see it.
That is so good. So follow the link for the audio listeners. Follow the link in the show notes so that you can see that.
Don't save yourself.
Don't do it.
Oh, and it gets worse, guys. Because
does it?
Well, not food.
How can it possibly get worse?
How? Is there a baby in there?
All right, Delta Knight, I don't know how you find this stuff. He says, do a fucking everything. All right, this next link that Delta Knight has sent through, I love, which is basically, if you're not just, so if tattoos aren't enough for you, okay?
This is
also on Geekology. This is LED tattoos, okay? This is a new technology that basically allows you to implant LED arrays under the skin.
Wow.
All right. Apparently
itchy.
Apparently it's completely safe.
There's those, you can get like metal balls and shit put on your skin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuff, like,
well, this is the only thing that this article does not mention.
You've got horns and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I've seen that. The only thing this article does not mention. Now, this array, you look at this picture, these are tiny. If you look, there's a measure at the bottom. It says 1 millimeter.
Yeah.
So these are tightly packed arrays. Yeah. So you could like have your name flashing down your arm or something, you know? But what it doesn't say here is it doesn't say how they power it.
Yeah.
There's
you have
no,
to, like...
Do you have like a little battery compartment?
So are
if
you
anybody,
sure?
If anybody also, knows how you power this...
Maybe it's powered from static electricity from the body.
Oh, that would just be weird.
Yeah.
Okay, according to their article...
And if you rub your feet on the carpet, it gets brighter. No, it's like awesome. Small lights. Small lights can be powered by static electricity.
You'd be like
body, so.
Griffin in Family Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It says the LED arrays were developed by John Rogers from the University of Illinois. Blah, blah, blah. It says they can twist and stretch by as much as 75%, coated in thin silicon rubber. They're also waterproof and safe to implant under the skin.
Right.
That means that you could, in theory, spell out your name in flashing lights under your skin of your back. Count me in. You know, we have little lights.
No, I'm all right. Thanks.
So you could do those things with the horns and stuff. What you could do is you could actually have LEDs over your entire head. You know?
Horns and LEDs.
Dude,
and
people that
want to
look
spikes weird
go nuts. I'm quite comfortable with my skin the way it is.
Good luck getting through airport security, says Galaxy.
Yeah. You would. Actually, no, that's a really good point, though.
Yeah. What about the phone display under your skin? I much prefer the idea of that one that projects into the palm of your hand. I think that's really cool. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
It's the phone is basically built into a rig and it projects and you use the light and you can actually manipulate the light.
Oh.
That's kind of weird. That's kind of neat. Yeah. That was showing off at TED last year. All right. Now it's summer.
Summer comes.
Well, it's actually spring, but you know, close enough to summer.
We don't really get spring in Australia.
Now,
we have one link
here that won't open, so I don't know what it is. So maybe Delta Knight can fill us in. The link actually says where is it? I lost my notes here. The link actually says how kind of you, man. Oh no, I know that one. It says Mario can't take a joke. Mario Luigi on Facebook. Is the link. Doesn't load. For some reason, I can't get it to load. So I don't know what that one's about. So if he's got the link and he gets it to work, put it in the chat room. We'll fire it up. But how about this one? A guy gets his laptop stolen. Now, this is the feel-good story on this list. A guy gets his laptop stolen.
Right.
And 2 weeks later, mind you, he gets his laptop stolen out of his bag. His money, credit cards, nothing else is touched. It's all left in the bag. And then 2 weeks later, he receives a USB key in the mail with all the content of his laptop.
Well, that's really nice.
Talk about a courteous criminal.
I bet you the guys opened it up and like gone nuts on the computer and just found really, really important stuff and just gone, oh man.
Yeah, because the guy was a professor, so it obviously has documents and stuff like that. And he mailed it all back. And all I can think is, you shouldn't have stolen the laptop in the first place. Yeah. But if we're gonna steal the laptop, well, you know, it is nice to be courteous.
It's like when people get their wallets stolen and they only take out the cash.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's such an inconvenience to, you know, get all those cards back.
Yeah, and it's like you sit there and you feel like saying, keep the cash.
Yeah.
Give me back my wallet.
Give me back
stuff
shit,
that happened to me on
it.
A bus. I left my wallet. My wallet fell out on a bus and it got dropped at a bus station. There was no money in it, but I didn't care. I was just like, thank you for not making me have to renew 10 cards.
Damn straight. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which usually costs more than how much money you lost in the first place because they're like $20 each.
I had $400 in there, so no.
He's put his link into the chat room. Let's have a look here. Loading it up. Brotherly love. Okay, here it is. Brotherly love, Mario and Luigi Facebook fight.
Yeah.
Mario says,
I think we're going to have to do this another week, man. This looks long.
It's long. It's we'll put the link in the show notes. It's a link that basically has Mario and Luigi fighting it out in a Facebook conversation. Boy, that's long, dude. So that's kind of cute, though. All right, we'll have a look at that later on. All right, now, the other link that we need to explain here, though, is... Where is it? What are you saying over there? What are you babbling about over there? Yes, it's that time of year. That's what I was going to say. Now, for the geek girl out there, do you wear a one piece or a bikini when you swim?
I wear a bikini top and bikini bottom with board shorts because I will not show my ass to the public.
So you wouldn't be interested in R2-D2 one piece?
That's fucking cool. No, I would definitely wear that to the beach.
Or you could have Bones.
No.
You could have Muppet Pulp Fiction, or you could have Darth Vader, and others. If you go to the link on the show notes, they have astronauts, they've got starfields. This is the latest in female geek. I like the skull. I don't have that one loaded up on the board, but I like the skull.
The skull looks cool. I'd wear the R2-D2.
I think the R2-D2 is kind of fun too. So this is the latest range of female One Pieces that are geek related. Although I got to say, the girl herself in these pictures doesn't look much of a geek.
No, she looks like an underwear model, and I'm sure she probably is.
I'm pretty sure she is. I think they should have got a real geek girl, you know, get the glasses going, the hair up in the bun.
Silly light and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Damn straight. So anyway, so I thought those were kind of cute as well. Now we do actually have the one story that he sent through that I actually thought was absolutely brilliant. All right, now there's one more before that, but I'm just going to skip that one for a second. We'll come back to that one because this one is actually the NASA DARPA story that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. This one actually fascinated me, and we don't have any graphics for this one. This is NASA is basically looking at trying to get planetary flight in 100 years. And they're actually working on new propulsion systems, and they're working with DARPA. And one of the things that they're actually developing is electropulse propulsion. Impulse engines. We're talking about nice. Star Trek impulse engines. The idea is that traveling in space is completely uneconomical because we don't have a propulsion system that can really do it. Yeah. We don't want to fire rockets every time we have to do something. We have to carry too much propulsion. We have to carry too much fuel. Mm. But if you could come up with some way that could actually pulse thrust, because there's no friction, so you just need something that can actually push out that pulse to get the thing moving, that would be a much more economical way to fly. And if you could get some sort of electronic pulse to push that Starship along, we suddenly have a much more viable option of traveling between
space
planets.
Space travel will be like the next hottest thing. Holiday destination.
Absolutely. Look, think about it. Okay.
They joked about it in the 90s.
Yeah.
They used to have like manned flights, and you know, there was Virgin allowing certain people recently to fly.
And if you
the
spent
moon.
Like $40 million, you could like go up in space for a night or something.
Yeah, I mean, we're already starting to. There's been a lot of murmurs. Here we go. What's this? Pulse detonation engine testbed developed. There you go. This is another link coming into our chat room right now. A detonation is a supersonic combustion wave. A pulse detonation engine, PDE, repetitively creates a series of detonation waves to take advantage of rapid burning and high peak pressures to efficiently produce thrust. NASA Glenn Research Center's combustion branch has developed a PDE testbed that can reproduce the operating conditions that might be encountered in an actual engine. Cool. So they're actually That's saying awesome. It's close. They're saying that we might actually be able to get some decent propulsion in space other than having to carry tons of solid fuel, which is just a waste of size, and weight for liftoff and takeoff.
I'm down.
I think the bottom line is with spaceflight, though, we have to get space docks because the only way we're really going to get this stuff working is to actually build the ships in space.
Yeah.
We need to launch from space. It's this breaking out of the atmosphere crap that's the problem. Or anti-gravity. We need anti-gravity. That's all there is to
it. One day.
We need anti-gravity. All right. And the last of his links that will take us pretty much to the end of this little expedition of Delta Knight's mind is this one, which is not particularly super uber geeky, but it is really neat. And I like neat. These are warships, model warships made out of matchsticks.
Oh, wow.
And this guy has been making them for years and years and years and years and years. And if you want to have an idea of the number that he has made or the scale of these ships, here he is amongst his collection.
Oh, my God.
And according
that guy does not have a wife.
And no, according to this article, he's been making them for years. He's 79 years old.
Yeah.
This hobby has kept him busy since 1948. He says there are approximately 1,500 matchsticks in each model. And it's a total of about 650,000 matchsticks to create this little armada that he's created.
I wonder
where
he gets his matchsticks. Do you reckon he gets them in bulk, like 2,000 in a box or something?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to the supermarket and buying matchsticks somehow. But I thought that was really sweet. I mean, these are really nice models. I like these a lot.
Absolutely.
Look at that.
Really nice models. Really well thought out.
Mm.
Really OCD.
A lot of time
OCD.
Goes
and
into
if you go
these
if you
models,
if you go
yeah.
to if you go to the link. I don't have all the pictures, but there's other pictures. I think his aircraft carrier is awesome.
Are those planes?
Yes, they're
and
planes.
They're made out of matchsticks?
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
It's a
really,
it is an awesome, awesome hobby that he has created for himself. Now, guys, I have a trailer. Now, this is a slight side note, and it's not in our show notes at all, but I have a trailer. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about Paul? The film with Simon Pegg?
Yes.
A first teaser came out this week.
Ooh.
So it's not the best quality in the world, but I do have the teaser trailer for Paul for you to have a look at. Yeah. And, let's reserve comment until afterwards. Here you go. Here's Paul.
Death. Just the two of us, I'm Paul.
And I really need your help.
I don't know, we're on quite a tight schedule.
This is a matter of life and death.
Why are we holding hands?
So we look like a family. Okay, we're just a couple of regular guys walking down the street with a small cowboy.
All right. So, yeah, sorry about the little glitch at the beginning. That's actually on the original source file. It's the one that's been kicking around. I don't know.
I think it's too short.
Have they
trailer.
Taken
they've
it too far?
No, no, no. They've tried to cram too much into that trailer.
Mm.
Like, dude, that's the same level of crap that happens in Hot Fuzz or any of those kind of movies. It's just you can't sell it in, like, under a minute.
Now, the question is, it's directed by the director of Superbad, so I know you weren't a huge fan of Superbad.
No, but I admire it for what it was. I'm just not really a fan of it, that's all. Look, I mean, it has potential, but I understand why you would have reservations. I do as well.
Yeah,
like,
I just look at it.
It's a lime walker. You're like, there's going to be a lot happening in that film. Because the whole thing is, you've got three very dialogue-driven actors.
Yeah.
So, it may be fine, but at the same time, it may be horrible, you know, so I don't know.
I'll wait to see the full trailer.
Yeah.
That's the teaser. We'll wait till the full trailer comes
Paul
out.
Paul does look like the alien from American Dad. I agree with that, Reggie.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. And I don't know, is it me or is everybody else a little over Seth Rogen at this point?
Yeah.
But at least we're not seeing his face, so, you know.
Yeah, but it's the voice and everything. It's the Seth Rogen style of humor. I like Seth Rogen.
We don't know yet. We've only heard him say two lines.
We could be surprised.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, I will reserve judgment. At this point, it's not setting me on fire.
Yeah, no.
It's not setting me on fire.
I'm glad they didn't call it Roger, because if the movie sucks, then I don't have to associate the two together.
Roger?
Roger's the name of the alien from...
Ah.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know what? That's all the links I've got. I've got. It's hot and we're going to get out of here. And and I'm glad everybody joined us. And thank you for all those links. They are always a lot of fun.
Thank you, Delta Knight. Delta, keep us entertained.
Keep sending them in. And look, Delta, the weirder the better, because we'll send those into the after show, okay? Because that's really where they belong. some of these links are after show, absolute after show fodder. They're wonderful stuff. Okay, if you have any comments or you want to throw stuff into the after show, you can send it to feedback@geekactually.com. Please, by all means, send your stuff in. It's always fun. With the geekier, the better. All right, the geekiest submissions you can put in, the better. 0280113167 is the voicemail line, or you can Skype us. Excuse me. Geek Actually is our Skype ID, but you have to be approved first, so it gets kind of messy. Merchandise, cafepress.com.au/geekactually, t-shirts, mugs, etc. Fan page, facebook.com/geekactually. Twitter account, twitter.com/DaveMcVeigh. There you go. All done. Josh, where can we find you?
RawDLC.com, and as usual, at the end of the day, I'm too tired to be bothered to read it all out, so go to RawDLC.com and you'll see all the links to tell you what you should and shouldn't do in gaming-related material. Good night.
Josh is out. Celine!
I'm on Facebook. Contact me then. Send me a message saying where you saw me and why... not why you'd like to add me as a friend. I know why. It's because I'm awesome.
Send you a picture of where they saw you, huh?
Yeah. just be like, yeah, I saw you on Geek Actually, otherwise I'll ignore you. And I also work for an art gallery. If you're into art, that's gallery8.com.au. That's all one word. And my own website will be up soon as well, probably in a couple of months or something. So, yeah, I will be plugging that in the near future.
Cool. All right, and we will just throw out very, very quickly, go listen to Movie Fancast. They're cool. Go listen to Right This Instant. They're cool. They've got a soon-to-becoming limited series called The Walking Dead Cast. Listen to them. They're cool. You can find all of that at moviefanhouse.com, and go listen to our friends, The Real Junkies, at weekendronin.com, and you can, of course, search for all these podcasts on iTunes. Now, we also want to throw a quick shout out to our good friend Josh Spencer. He created our new logos, which we love so much, and you can find him at attackninja.blogspot.com. And I think that's it. I think we're done. I think we are pretty much fried in here today. Now, on the Film Actually Show for the live feed, our board froze on the end credits. We'll see if that happens again. Yeah, dude. Love that. I think that's it. I think we're going to end this broadcast day. I want to say thank you very much to our chat room for sticking around with us. You guys are wonderful. Thank you guys for joining me, as always. And we'll see you all next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Living people.